This week's Dvar Torah is sponsored L'Zchus Elazar ben Bela Felberbaum. The learning of the Dvar Torah is L'Zchus Reb Sholem Mordechai Halevi ben Rivka for Geula Kroiva min HaMeitzar el HaMerchav. This week we will discuss the inyan of feeling for another Yid. The Baal Shem Tov once told of a court case which was conducted L'Maila regarding a simple Yid who did not know more than davening and Tehillim, but had exceptional Ahavas Yisroel. His thoughts, speech, and actions were permeated with feelings for other Yidden, and he was pained by the misfortunes of another. And when one had a simcha, he was joyful. The Beis Din Shalmaila decided that this simple Yid be given a portion in Gan Eden among the Tzadikim and Geonim. The sigh, krechts of a Yid which comes from seeing another in trouble, breaks all iron boundaries of the Mekatergim, adversaries, and when one rejoices for another Yid and gives him a bracha, it is considered by Hashem like the tefillah of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. After telling of the reward that he had received for helping a Yid, the Tzemach Tzedek said to the Rebbe Maharash, "All the gates of Shamayim are open for one who helps a Yid with his parnasa." Relating this to the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Maharash added, "It is not essential to know the route to the Heicholos Elyonim. The main thing is to help another wholeheartedly with feeling, and to have a geshmak, a pleasure in doing a favor for a Yid." The Rebbe Rashab said, "It is an extraordinary advantage when Hashem grants a person the schus of feeling a sense of pleasure for doing kindness to another, to the point that the other becomes more precious to him than his own self. This is because he may find numerous reasons why he deserves troubles, chas v'shalom, but such is impossible with regard to the other's suffering." At Efarbrengen, the Friedrich Rebbe said, "In general, one Yid should be dear to another, especially so by Chassidim. Is it appropriate that only after 3 months one finds out that the other had a simcha? Chassidim who have been nurtured with Avas Yisroel must be very warm to other Yidin and hold them very important, to the point that one feels your simcha is my simcha and my simcha is yours." When the news arrived in Lubavitch that Reb Chanya Morozov was freed from army duty, the known Chassid Reb Hendel went out to the courtyard singing, "Chanya is arois, Chanya is free." He entered the Rebbe Rashab's room and related the news and began dancing. The Rebbe stood up, put his hand on Reb Hendel's shoulder, danced around with him 3 times, and said, "I will therefore say Chassidus for you." The Friedrich Rebbe describes, "In previous generations, upon meeting another Yid, one would wish Shalom Aleichem wholeheartedly and warmly, and the response Aleichem Shalom was answered sincerely as well. Nowadays, the ways of the world have seeped into our routine, bringing with it a coldness and a lack of truthfulness. The present typical Shalom Aleichem often means goodbye, in contrast to the Toiradike Shalom Aleichem of previous times, which expressed the love one had for another." The Friedrich Rebbe said, "A gesture in Avos Yisroel, which is routine, such as asking another how he is doing because this is customarily done, is dry and lifeless. Avos Yisroel must be saturated and alive, causing one to see the ma'alos in another. If a negative aspect is noticed, it is due to a lacking of the beholder, and he should correct it within himself." The Chassid Rebbe Elia Abeller once went to the Rebbe Marash for Yechidus, and when asked by the Rebbe, "How is your business going?" he replied, "Baruch Hashem, but I am greatly pained by the lack of success of Yosef, a fellow villager, who is constantly befallen with misfortunes. A horse and carriage was purchased to enable him to travel to the city and sell some merchandise, but the wheel broke, the horse broke a foot, and merchandise was stolen. Rebbe," Rebellia continued, "what can I do to help him?" He sighed heavily and cried, "Rebbe, give him a bracha." The Rebbe Marash responded, "Yes, you can help him. For when one Yid is pained by the pain of another and asks on his behalf, he causes that all gzeiros be taken away and all harsh judgment be broken." The Rebbe then took out a coin and gave it to Rebbe Elia, saying, "I want to be a partner with you. Hashem should help you have the ability to benefit another Yid, and it should be with Hatzlacha." When the Rebbe Rashab was 5 years old, he and his brother Reb Zalman Aaron decided to play Chassid and Rebbe, where the Razot would act as Rebbe, and the Rebbe Rashab would be the Chassid coming into Yechidus. The Razot sat on a chair, fixed his hat, and the Rebbe Rashab came to ask him for a tikkun. "For what are you asking a tikkun?" the Razot asked. The Rebbe Rashab replied, This past Shabbos, I ate nuts and later found out that the Alter Rebbe writes that it is good to refrain from eating nuts on Shabbos. The Razok counseled him to make sure to daven from the Siddur and not by heart. "Your advice will not help, and you are not a Rebbe," exclaimed the Rebbe Rashab. When a Rebbe answered, "He is supposed to sigh, but you did not sigh, so your advice is no good." The Rebbe explained that when a Yid helps another, the assistance itself is not enough. The sigh, empathizing with the other's pain, is also necessary. Doing a favor for another to perfect one's own shlemus without feeling the other's ache is not kindness, but the opposite. Before Pesach Tofresh Mem, two chassidim arrived in Lubavitch to the Rebbe Marash. The first chassid, Rebbe Michal Aaron Pisavertsky, though not very knowledgeable in Torah and chassidus, had a chassidish heart and was always concerned for others. The second chassid, Rebbe Leib Posen, was a wealthy chassid from Vitebsk, who gave tzedakah and occupied himself with gemilas chassadim, but all within a certain limit. When he entered Yechidus, the first subject he mentioned was the situation of his chaver, Reb Nachman Zeltzer. He described the family's poor financial state and the children who were of marriageable age, and then pleaded for rachmanis on his friend's behalf. The Rebbe gave his bracha that Hashem should help him, and Reb Michal Aaron begged the Rebbe that the bracha be a firm commitment. When he then described his own dire situation, the Rebbe said, "It seems you're even worse off than Reb Nachman." Reb Michal Aaron answered, "About myself, I know I don't deserve anything better, so it is forbidden to complain, and I have to be satisfied with what I have." The Rebbe covered his eyes, sat in dveikus for a short while, and then said, "If one davens for his fellow Yid, his own tefillas are answered first. May Hashem grant you hatzlacha." Not long after, both Reb Nachman and Reb Michal Aaron became very successful in their businesses and very wealthy. When the second chassid, Reb Leib, entered Yechidus, he spoke at length about his personal matters relating his situation and asked for a bracha. Only then did he sigh and report the situation of his chaver, the chassid Reb Shmuel Brin. Reb Shmuel, despite being a very active and successful businessman, would learn an in-depth shir in Gemara, Chosh and Mishpat, and Chassidus daily. Lately, Reb Shmuel's business had not been doing well and had also been cheated by swindlers, causing him to fall deeply into debt. Reb Leib related Reb Shmuel's misfortunes and concluded, "Of course it is all from Hashem, but he still is to be pitied." The Rebbe covered his eyes and sank deep in thought, but did not reply. Soon afterwards, a fire broke out on the street where Reb Leib's storage houses stood, causing him to lose tens of thousands of rubles. At the same time, another fire caught onto his shop, causing him an additional loss. He soon traveled to the Rebbe, and upon entering Yechidus, began crying bitterly, telling the Rebbe of his great losses. Looking at him piercingly, the Rebbe said, "When tragedy befell Reb Shmuel Brin and left him penniless, you accepted it calmly. But now, when it has come to your merchandise, you cry out. The you and I are two separate things." Leaving Yechidus, Reb Leib understood that his hardships have come because of his attitude towards Reb Shmuel. After wandering around for 2 days, in a daze, not knowing what to do, he returned to the Rebbe's room and asked to be guided on a path of tshuva, and took upon himself to think about the good of another. The Rebbe Marash quoted what the Baal Shem Tov says, that when one passes judgment on another, he is passing judgment on himself, whether for positive or negative. For example, if one says that another deserves help from Hashem for what he has done, or if he passes judgment on him, he is causing charges to be pressed against himself. One who shares in the anguish of a friend is compensated. The Rebbe then instructed Reb Leib to lend Reb Shmuel 3,000 rubles, and for himself he should proceed to Moscow to buy merchandise for his shop. The Rebbe benched him, and he returned home ready to do as instructed. However, upon arriving at Reb Shmuel's home, he found out that his friend had traveled to Lubavitch. So though he was anxious to travel to Moscow for his own purchases, he was afraid to deviate from the exact order of the Rebbe's instructions. Finally, on the night of Shabbos, when he entered the shul, he saw Reb Shmuel, who was in a joyous mood and surrounded by chassidim, listening excitedly to what he was saying. Reb Leib felt envious of him, that despite his losses, he looked like the happiest man. The Gabbai quieted everyone, and Reb Shmuel chazered the maimer he had heard from the Rebbe, and the following day he chazered it another 2 times. On Motzei Shabbos, Reb Leib hurried to Reb Shmuel's house to give him the money. Warmly welcoming him, Reb Shmuel tried to raise his friend's spirits by explaining the common saying that after a fire, one prospers. Reb Leib was moved from the way Reb Shmuel was able to console him when he himself had suffered from recent financial loss as well. Reb Shmuel then told him of his initial feelings of despair when he had found out about the calamity that had befallen him. However, not long after, a special messenger came to him with a message from the Rebbe, telling him that he knows of his circumstances, but does not agree with the way he is responding to the situation. Reb Shmuel continued, I traveled to Lubavitch and received instructions to buy ready-made rafts, and a bracha for good merchandise and a side income as well. Following these instructions, I traveled to Riga to arrange the order of some fine rafts, and on the trip returning home, I met a yid looking for an arbitrator to settle a dispute between two businessmen. I agreed, and after successfully sorting out the matter, I was paid. How will you pay those who will deliver the rafts? Reb Leib asked. Reb Shmuel reassured him that he has the Rebbe's bracha and Hashem will help. Not knowing how to properly broach the topic, Reb Leib blurted out, Don't worry about the money, I've brought you a certain sum for that, and told him of the 3,000 ruble loan he had in his pocket. Reb Shmuel refused to accept it, and Reb Leib then told him the whole story. Reb Shmuel said, You have done what Rebbe has told you to do, and our Chachamim assure us that Hashem considers a good thought as if it was actually done. Nevertheless, I'm not accepting the money. That same night, Reb Leib traveled to the Rebbe, complained about Reb Shmuel's refusal, and left the bundle of rubles on the table. Early Monday morning, the Rebbe's Mesharis arrived at Reb Shmuel's house with a sealed envelope and a written note from the Rebbe. I am sending you 3,000 rubles until after selling the rafts. Have Hatzlacha. Reb Shmuel accepted the money, bought and sold the rafts, and earned a large profit. At the same time, Reb Leib traveled to Moscow, where the merchants agreed to give him merchandise on credit. Moreover, he won thousands of rubles in a lottery, and on the advice of the Rebbe, bought and sold flax for an incredible profit. These four chassidim had much success and remained wealthy throughout their life.